Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you.
Good evening and welcome to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser. Happy New Year, everyone. And thank you so much for coming back and listening to the broadcast this evening. Well, we've really had a lovely hiatus, and so much has happened since I've been on the air in the beginning of December. But here we are in 2022, and we are having a conversation with a wonderful guest this evening. She is a powerhouse. I have the opportunity to work with her in one particular chapter at Arts Quest, but I'm not going to reveal everything to her right now. You know what I normally do is I give you some housekeeping so that all of you who have not been here before, or this is your first time, or to refresh some of the people who have been here for a while as to how all of this is working. You know, this is a conversation, and thank you everybody for calling in. All the callers are already starting to line up. Thank you so much. The show is a program about how important the arts is to our society and how it has affected our lives. And so we've been really on the air since last March. We've approaching 50 episodes, and we've had such wonderful guests. Again, that I will say that Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser is so proud to really welcome our guests tonight. But before we get there, here I go. You have to know that you are listening to blogtalkradio.com/ S as in Sam, F as in Fred, T as in Thomas, H as in Harry, the number 2. And what's important about that is if you want to hear this episode again, or if you have friends who missed this episode, you can give them that link and they can go to Blog Talk Radio, and they're all of the episodes from the very beginning of last year all lined up by title, and then you'll be able to listen to whichever one that you really want to enjoy. And then this evening, if people want to call in, and those of you have already done, and the number is 516-453-6063. You can call in, say hello to my guest and myself. You can have any questions that you want. We're going to have some time that is designated for that at the end of our conversation. But first, we're going to start this particular episode because we are in the month of the Capricorn. And being a Virgo, I think I have to tell you that most of my friends are Capricorns. And that is the perfect mate for me. And I've got a couple who have already started calling in now, and they don't know that I'm going to do this, but they've celebrated birthdays in the last month of December and January. And I'm going to do a little shout out to those December Caps, which is Joy Morton Wiley, that I've known forever, on the 22nd. There's Cody Cannon. There's Francine there on the 30th. Her birthday's in L.A. My mother's birthday was January 1st. My dear friend Amelia McQueen was January the 6th. Bathsheba Monk, wonderful publisher who's been on the show. She's the 10th. My French teacher, Bon Anniversaire, was January 13th. The wonderful producer, the late Dennis Johnson, was the 17th. One of my oldest friends, and that doesn't mean an age. I mean, we've known each other since the 10th grade in English class. Her birthday is actually today. And I want to wish my good friend Deborah Fudge Rim a happy, happy, blessed birthday today. Happy birthday to you. Now that's enough of that. I'm not going to continue on. I have friends that have birthdays tomorrow. Ken Page, you know he's a fabulous entertainer. My friend Julius Hollingsworth. So, and just one more. Jane Wells, truly is on the 22nd, and that's on the cusp. Boy, do I know a lot of caps. So I think I've done that. I don't know if I'm going to do it every episode, but I'll try to catch up with everybody. It's so much fun just kind of keeping that in mind and shouting out to you all. And I hope you all had wonderful, wonderful, wonderful days, glorious celebratory days. Now we get to my guest. Before I tell you her name, let me tell you, from afar for, I guess, a year or two, I would see her because we were involved in a company called ArtsQuest, and she was the chairperson of the board of directors, and I was on one of the boards there at ArtsQuest, and I was fascinated how she would wield herself in the power structure, how the calm that she has, the intelligence, the articulation, but circumstances had not made it so that I could really be on one-to-one with her. After the occurrence of George Floyd, we had decided to create a diversity chapter at ArtsQuest. And who would be our leader but this woman who is the chairperson of the board of directors? She became chairman of our chapter of diversity. And it is that time in the last 18 months, I got a chance to really up close look at all of the wonderful qualities that she bears as a leader. The calmness, her ability to listen, to accept things, to program them, and then feed you back the things so that there's progress that's being made. And it doesn't surprise me when I began to really listen, look and read about her progress in life. Her name is Vicky Dulé. And I say that because there's an accent over the E, and I'm going to find out from her where all of that comes from soon. But she is not only the chairperson of the board of directors of ArtsQuest, she is in her professional life the senior vice president of BSI Corporate Benefits. Now, I don't know what that is, and we're going to find out a little bit of what that is without getting into too much of her business, but the senior vice president of that, but also her activities, her background was with Capital Blue Cross for 24 years as vice president of group sales, and with that, she had great accomplishments, but it's also her community activities, her participation in wonderful groups. She is always there and caring for people. She was the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Woman of the Year, and where they raised $30,000. She is a member of the Lehigh Valley Multiple Sclerosis Class of 2010. She's the graduate of the Leadership Lehigh Valley. She's a graduate of Bloomberg University in marketing. All of these things are just a sidebar to how I perceive her in person, because it's like a stepladder to where she is now. So with all of that said, I would like to welcome a woman of power, a woman in power, and this series that we're doing, Miss Vicky Dulé. Hello, Vicky. I think what's happened is I think I have to activate her mic. So, all right. Now, hello, Vicky.
Hello, Lenny. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm blushing. So, thank you. You're very, very kind.
Oh, no, it's just true. I just didn't detect that they had just kind of put you on mute there while the introduction, while the whole show had started. So, that's good because, you know, I was like, wow, she's being very, very quiet. She's not saying anything as I'm saying all this. You were muted. Okay. But welcome. Welcome. And I'm so excited to have you here. And as I said off air before we started, I don't know whether to start from here and go backwards or start from the beginning of life and go forward. So I think I'm going to start at the beginning and come forward this way. Because then that way I will then learn before it's all over. I have to find out this fabulous last name and if I'm pronouncing it right and where it comes from and that husband and children, all of that. But tell me, how are you from this area in Lehigh Valley? You don't have to be that specific if you don't want to, but is this where you're from or did you migrate here? How are you here in Lehigh?
It's where I'm from. I was born, in Bethlehem, grew up in the Nazareth area. That's where I live now, where, you know, my family is, where we're raising our kids, graduated mm-hmm. Northampton High School. So, you know, born and bred in the Lehigh Valley, I love it here. I just love the community. So really proud to be a part of it all my life.
Well, that's fabulous. You have a friend with me. I'm a New York born and raised, and you know I love my mm-hmm. New York City. But I really love being here. Tell me, you went to Northampton High School, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
While there, was there anything that started your interest in the arts? Because you are so involved in so many communities, the diversity of community things that you were involved in. What started your interest in the arts? And did you play any instrument? What influence did the arts have for you?
Well, you know, it's a good question, Lenny, and I've been thinking about that. And I really do think, I attribute my parents for my love of music. We grew up, I grew up always listening to music, always, being surrounded by music. It was something, back then we were home a lot. We spent a lot of time at home when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Always had the radio on, whether it was Motown, Elvis records. I still have fond memories of my parents dancing around, in the living room, dancing. Mm-hmm. And so I've always loved music. So when I went to, when I was in elementary school, I played, instruments for a short amount of time in school, but I never really took anything up long term. But just always loved the arts, loved theater. And then when I was old enough, would start going to concerts, going to see plays, going to the theater, and really now with raising my raising my kids, they all play instruments because as I grew, I really realized how important music is, to be a positive influence on kids. But I never played an instrument. I wish I did, but I grew up around music, and I think it just was instilled in me from a young age.
When you say that you encouraged your children to be involved in instrumentation, why do you say that? What do you think the influence is for your children? What do you think? What does it
mean? Well, I think it has a great impact. And, from research I did, especially when I was, a early parent, first time parent, is the influence that the arts and playing an instrument and music has on achieving more academically. So we felt it was important in raising our kids that they each take up an instrument. And so my oldest son, who's 22, he's played guitar since he was 8. He plays electric guitar
now.
Wait,
let me stop. Let me stop. 22. Now, I've known you. The audience has got to see you later. You don't have a 22-year-old son. No, you don't.
I do. I do. You're too kind. I do.
Well, you see, didn't I tell you? I can be around people all the time, think I know them, yep. And then I find out on the air their business. Okay, go ahead.
Yep.
He plays the guitar.
Yep.
Okay.
He plays still. So he plays electric guitar. He plays, more rock music. He's really good. He's played since he was young, started on a Martin guitar when he was younger.
So we
kept it local, being from Nazareth. And my daughter, who is 19, she plays piano. So she took lessons for probably 10 years, started her very young, and she still plays. And she was also very involved in chorus in high school and singing. And then my youngest son, who is a junior in high school, he plays piano as well, and he took lessons for probably about 8 years. So we're proud of the fact that they took lessons long enough that it's a lifelong skill that they have. And it's nice to still hear them play piano around the house and those types of things. And they've all done really well academically. So I'm a big believer that having that musical end of things is important, as is, you know, athletics and the academics and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But music has such a huge impact on them being successful, and we see what they're achieving, and we attribute part of that to their musical upbringing.
Now, are any of them, do they have aspirations in the arts, or are they going into different fields? Where are they going?
They're different fields. You know, I always wanted one of my kids to, you know, be the lead in the school play, but I was never able to live vicariously through them. I always teased them that was, you know, they let me down on that. So I was like, come on, you guys can sing, you can do this. But my son is a business major at Pitt. My daughter is she's an advertising major at Syracuse, so Newhouse Communication School. She does host a radio show on Monday nights, though, Lenny. So she really does love music. So she's heading in that path, which is fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
My youngest son, he's still in high school. He swims. I don't think he'll pursue music when he goes to school, but he does still play piano. So I'll take that.
Oh, yes. You know, patrons of the arts are what keep the arts alive. I think that the importance of all of us realizing, when we look back on our lives, the influence that we've had from the arts has really helped us become who we are. I know the discipline that I have. Okay, yes, I am an artist. Yes, all of that. But I, at times, what people don't know is in high school and college, I was a junior executive at Exxon because being picked, because I was president of my school, being picked as one of their candidates for many of the high schools in New York City. Mm-hmm. And the discipline that I had, that from voice class, from doing music that much, allowed me to apply it in business. And I think that's one of the things that's so important to me. I want to really make that correlation and that connection to people, because it is us recognizing that the arts really are an important training ground for us, and we mustn't forget them, and we mustn't allow the circumstances to let art be the first thing that is taken away and the last thing that is talked about or thought of. So that's my crusade. I think that's probably my crusade for the rest of my life. So I can see out now. So the influence that you had in high school, did you have any electives when you went to Bloomberg? Did you have any electives in the arts that helped you along with your marketing degree? Was there a correlation? Is there anything that you can kind of think about that made it a connection to all of the things that you do now that are connected with the arts and a very artistic kind of program, do you think?
You know, I don't, I mean, it's going back a while now. So it's, you know, I don't necessarily remember, you know, all of my electives back at, you know, at school, but I don't mm-hmm. remember, Lenny, that I necessarily took any of those, you know, elective type music classes or arts classes. I did take some art history classes now that mm-hmm. my memory is clicking back in, you know, so I would try to balance the business end of my education. But mm-hmm. I think today it's a little bit easier to do that. I know, you know, my kids have had some music history classes in college, and, you know, maybe back in the 90s, I didn't necessarily have those, because if I had, I definitely would have taken them.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think it evolved over time, even after I graduated from college and through my work career, on really, you know, seeing that connection with the arts and as a patron of the arts, and mm-hmm. going to, oh, I can't even keep track of all the concerts I've been to. You know, and I've gone with many, with my kids, especially my daughter and I have gone to a lot of concerts together, a ton of Broadway shows. We've been to over 50 Broadway shows together. So on a mm-hmm. personal level, the mm-hmm. arts have helped me develop a very, very special bond with my daughter, especially because we mm-hmm. share that love of the arts, and mm-hmm. staying connected with your kids isn't always the easiest thing to do, especially as they get older. But the arts have helped me develop those relationships, stronger relationships with my kids, and especially my daughter and I.
I think that, you know, that's a common bond. I've heard that before, that that's one thing that you need something. And it's hard for, especially daughters and mothers, to find that equilibrium until the daughter really finds out how smart the mother is, you know. I had to find that.
True.
I found that out kind of early. You know, I used to think that I knew everything, and then I realized how smart my mother was, and then she became really a great friend, because then I just listened to her, because I was like, well, mother, you know, and she'd just tell me. But until that happens, to have something that's a bond that you all can share together is a very important thing. One of the things that I want to ask is, so what do you think then? So then it makes me think, without the arts connection, how would your relationship be with your daughter? How would that be if you didn't have it?
I don't think we'd probably be as close. I don't think we'd have that bond and the memories that we have and the things to look forward to. I think that we connect on a different level because that shared love of concerts, music, Broadway, you know, live theater. It's something we keep in touch with and text each other about different news we see about it. And if that wasn't there, I just don't think it would be as probably deep of a relationship that we have. And so it really does make me realize how the arts can make those connections happen.
Do you think that, you know, I find that what is fascinating about you in particular is it's obvious that your marketing and business background is there. Having had that corporate background, I can recognize it. I think faster than most people think I can, because people don't associate with me with corporate. But it's a real big part of my life. Your foundation. But sometimes, because there is a corporate structure and because of corporate policies, there isn't a sensitivity. But in your case, you have a sensitivity that has brought you to a lot of different organizations. Do you think that comes from some of the learnings that you had from a lot of the concerts, some of the programs, watching your parents enjoy it? There are many people who are in places of leadership, and everyone has different characteristics. Yours are a characteristics of sensitivity. You have a tendency to be far more artistic than I think you are, with your ability to listen. People can hear people, but they don't listen, or they can listen and don't hear. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You listen, you hear what is in the room, what is being done, and something happens. It's like something, it goes through your brain, and there's like a little function that happens, and then it comes out so that the message that you give to the people in the room is one of neutrality. It's being able, you were able to just cut through all of the confusion and say, well, I think that this is the way we should look at it. And I find that is a key when I direct, is being able to find that point that does not have judgment, but then that can solve an issue. Did that come from marketing? Did that come from, where do you think that came from?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that, Lenny, because, you know, from my career and being involved in business, you know, and I kind of grew up at Capital Blue Cross because I was there for so long. I started as a sales executive and worked my way up. But I think listening is the number one leadership skill, in my opinion, and in today's society, people like to talk, and sometimes they don't take the time to step back and listen. So it's something I really actively, you know, work on all the time to make sure that I do listen, because I think you learn so much by listening. And I think as I, especially in my time at Capital, I'm lucky to work for two employers in my life that are very focused on giving back to the community, both my current employer and when I was at Capital. And when it came time for me at Capital, you know, and over the years, there were different CEOs. There was one CEO in particular who was very focused on giving back to the arts. And that's what kind of opened my eyes to say, okay, when we give back, there's many different ways to give back in the community, and there's wonderful service organizations out there, so many, but arts are also important. And I learned that in my time in corporate, I would say. So then when it came time for me to want to get involved in the community and, you know, get involved on a board and be a little bit more active, that's when ArtsQuest became the right fit for me because of my passion for the arts. And I saw in my work career that you can give back to the arts, and that is an important not-for-profit area of community giving to get involved in. So the exposure to the arts and some of the calming presence and some of the leadership in my career, I think I learned those listening skills, and I learned that it's important to embrace the arts as well.
Well, you do achieve that. I think the sensitivity of what we do, and I just want to be very clear about the diversity chapter that was created at ArtsQuest because of the atmosphere that exists now and how carefully you have crafted it to make it a legitimate piece of policy there. I think that it's important that people know the difference between people who are doing something cosmetically and then those who really are crafting something for the long term, not something that's going to be there while it's a popular thing. And I admire the time and the effort that you have taken into it, because it's taken a long time. It's taken a long time for us to really be accepted as a legitimate source of knowledge about an opinion about a diversity in organization, period, not just ArtsQuest, but ArtsQuest is who we're dealing with. But and that is a skill set that I don't find everyone has, that going from in different organizations, I have a tendency to not want to participate in an organization that just needs a statement and then there's nothing behind it. So the desire that you have to make sure that every step has a purpose for all the different facets in that organization is very visible to me.
Well, thank you, Winnie, and certainly the time we've spent together on the diversity, initiatives at ArtsQuest, I learned so much from you through that whole process. And I view it as the council, we kind of all built that together, and it's humbling to hear you call me the leader. But I learned so much, and I still do, but especially at the initial point of thinking, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? I came into it really trying to listen and to learn. And always, I come at things, to try to be empathetic and ultimately get to a point of moving things forward, like you said. But it would not have been able to be, I wouldn't have been able to do it without your involvement and, other board members that we brought along into the process. It's been very rewarding, and I've learned so much, so many things that I didn't know. And I thank you for that, because to go through the journey with you, has been and continues to be an honor.
Well, thank you. I think what I recognize, though, very early on is that in an organization, the leadership position has to be one where you have the ability to get things done. And some people have great ideas, but they're not in a position to get things done. And you have that. You have not only the position, but you have the methodology. You know what to do, and you have won the respect of people who will sit down and listen to you. And that is an important characteristic of leadership. And, the sensitivity of being able to see that, I attribute not only to my corporate background, but also to my artistic background, because it is a part of what I do, observing is a part of what I do artistically, because then therefore you can give an interpretation. And I think that that's what works for me. But now I'm going to go away from that a little bit and move, you know, now it's trying to move in the direction of what you've kind of answered one of the questions I asked about what attracted you to ArtsQuest in general. At what point in your life did you think that you wanted to be in that, or in the organizations that you are? The lymphoma organization, leukemia and lymphoma organization, the multiple sclerosis organization. These are very sensitive categories. What brought you to that? What appeal? Giving back, yes, but what else, Vicki?
Well. So I'll talk about the LLS. I ran for Woman of the Year, and I wasn't Woman of the Year that year. I came in second or third. Everybody's certainly a winner in that. They do it every year, but I raised more than I ever thought possible at that time. It was very humbling. But I got involved and decided to do that campaign because I had an uncle who was diagnosed with leukemia, and we weren't sure how he was going to do, and so I did it in honor of him, and he's still with us today, and he had a stem cell transplant, and he's still here, and we never thought he'd, we weren't sure if he'd make it through the year, so I believe in their mission and what they do to help blood, with blood diseases and blood cancers. I was involved in the multiple sclerosis class. That was in 2010. That was an opportunity that came up when I was at Capital. I have a cousin who suffers from MS, so it's just that personal connection for me. So oftentimes when there's a personal connection, that will spark me. I'll get involved. I'm on VIA's Board of Trustees. My sister, she passed away it's coming up on 22 years ago. She had Down syndrome, and she was a consumer at VIA's when we were younger, and they helped our family a lot. So just always had a personal connection there, and I'm now on their board. ArtsQuest wasn't that same type of personal connection, but it was more of my love of the arts and being from the Valley, being familiar with Music Fest, with the Banana Factory, with ArtsQuest at a higher level. And then I joined the board and learned so much, and it's become one of the best things I've ever done. But it's usually when there's some type of personal connection or reason there that's where I, kind of gravitate towards.
Well, I agree with you. We talked about earlier my connection to muscular dystrophy is because of Joanne, who was raised as my sister and who had it for 55 years before she passed away. Mm-hmm. And your concern is that when you see an organization like that and you've lived with it, you've lived with all of the challenges that person has, and they don't complain about it. They just live their life. You want to be able to, if an organization is created to help those people, you want to be able to help and give back like that. Now, I'm going to go a little bit. I don't want to get into too much of your personal life, but where does this last name come from now? Tell me about this.
Well, my maiden name was Han, H-A-N-N, which is very, I'll say for lack of a better word, kind of that more Pennsylvania-type last name is what I would say. So it's not as – I love my last name, Dulay, my married name. So my husband and I were married coming up on 23 years, and I always joke with him, if we ever get divorced, I'm keeping the last name. Dulay sounds much better than Han. No disrespect to my parents. I love them dearly. But I married a wonderful man, and I got a pretty great last name through it. And he is, his grandfather was originally from France. So he, came to the United States. And so Andy's, his grandfather was from France. So I do say I'm French now by marriage.
Yes, French by marriage, which I think is an absolute wonderful thing. Now, I'm going to say this. You're not going to believe this. We only have about 15 or 18 minutes left.
Wow.
I told you.
That goes fast.
Yes, it goes fast. I want to make sure that, you know, we have a number of callers here, and I want to make sure that if anybody who is listening has a question, they can call in now. They can press the button. You have to press one. And if they press one, then I will be able to see it in the next few minutes while we're talking, and then we can answer any questions that they have. It is one of the wonderful things about this is that when sometimes most people are so busy listening that they don't really want to interrupt with any questions because they want to make sure that they can hear, you know, they don't want to miss anything, you know. So we may get some, we might not, but we've got people who are holding on the line. So I've got you now to where you are with Arts Quest, and you're at BSI, the corporate benefits. What do you think is in the future? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I've been at BSI for going on 4 years. So we follows my health insurance background and we're health benefits, health insurance, you know, and benefit consultant for large employers in the area. And, you know, that's where my background is. So I see myself continuing to grow in my current position, you know, from a leadership standpoint. And also to continue to get involved in the community and be more involved in the community. As I slowed down, which, you know, won't be anytime soon, but when I slow down on the business end, I see myself getting even more involved in the community. I love the volunteer work I do with Arts Quest, so I'd like to continue, you know, to continue to give back. I can't imagine not doing something. I can't imagine retiring one day and not being active in the community. But I see myself retiring from BSI. It's a great company, and it allowed me. The wonderful thing about when I made the move to BSI was I was able to, because when I worked at Capital, I was driving to Harrisburg quite a bit. And BSI allowed me to become more local. And that allowed me to be more present with ArchQuest in my leadership roles at ArchQuest. So very generous company. We call ourselves a for-profit with a nonprofit heart. So that's why I do have the time to be as involved in ArchQuest as I am because of, you know, being at the right company that's the right fit for me. So that's been rewarding as well.
Well, in the fact that you have been in a position of leadership for all these times and through a period of time when there were not a lot of women who were in leadership, what were some of the challenges?
Yep.
What some of the I know the challenges that I get every single day. So I want to hear some of your challenges that,
You know, it's like for women leaders, I think we have a, you know, the challenge that I see over my career and being involved in different boards and those types of things is, you know, oftentimes we don't have a seat at the table. We don't have a voice at the table. We might be at the table, but oftentimes male voices may dominate. And I think as women, it's important we lift each other up and our voices, make sure that our voices are heard. You know, the fact that I'm the first female board chair for ArchQuest, it's a great thing. But we need to get to the point that that's not a thing to talk about, right? That gets, you know, that it's not a big deal that it's a female board chair. So I think sometimes it's just making sure that, you know, our voices are heard. And it's not always easy because we're just viewed differently in a leadership position. But over time, it's getting better. But it's still a small percentage of women who are CEOs in Fortune 500 companies. It goes up every year, but we have a lot of work to do from that standpoint.
Yeah, I find that the perception of who we are is a difficult thing to overcome sometimes because people come in to a relationship with already an opinion of who they think you are and what your capabilities mm-hmm. are, you know?
Yep.
And if there's any disadvantage that in the relationship or leadership, that's one. And I have a desire to see women lead, but not have to become men to lead. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I do. Women feel they have to change.
I do. Yeah, you know, I find myself, I go out of my way when I'm in a position of leadership to present myself physically as a feminine person. Because mm-hmm. I don't think that I have to look rugged in order to mm-hmm. be rugged. You know, I think after people know me for a little while, they realize that's the truth. You know, but at first glance, when people don't know you, they think, well, you know, there's a lot of fluff here and, you know, I'm going to be able to walk over this person. And I think the association with someone, having a feminine presentation of themselves mm-hmm. in a position of leadership gives a false sense of people thinking, oh, well, they're just fluff. And, you know, they care more about mm-hmm. what they look like than what the content is. And the truth is that you do care about what you look like, mm-hmm. you know, but you also
sure.
care about the condition. And I think that the more we are who we are and not trying to be anybody else, not trying to change the look of who we are so that we can be perceived as strong. We can be strong in the fashion and style that we present. That's as strong as I'd like to see mm-hmm. men walk around in heels all day long. I mean,
not all could do it.
No way in the world would they be. No, you know, it wouldn't. Yeah, and of course we don't do it in pain. I mean, we do pick shoes that are relatively comfortable, but it is something that, you know, men don't perceive and don't do. So, you know, to get credit for it, it's naturally what our style is, but also to, you know, appreciate the fact that you can't do that. You wouldn't be able to sustain yourself in doing that. And that's just the smallest of those kind of situations.
Yep.
But I really do think that one of the things that I talk about, I will be talking about in the next, I think every month I have a mm-hmm. conversation with a woman of power, a woman in power, mm-hmm. or was transformed from maybe one career where the career did not focus on them being in a leadership position to where they are now in a leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I really want to talk about is the challenges that they have had to face and
yeah.
what I think that's going to come in the future, because that's a very important thing. And I do think that having the appreciation earlier in life of the arts and the freedoms that it allows you, I think that that's one of the things that we don't really designate as a characteristic of the arts. The arts allows you to think freely, to question freely, and I think that that is a sign of leadership also. Not to always challenge, mm-hmm. but to also to question, to say, is this the best situation that we can have, or can we be better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What are the foundations here? I think that that's more important than anything else, you know, when it comes to thinking about how I've defined myself and how the women that I appreciate define themselves and the connection that we have in the arts. You know, is there anything about the arts that you grew up with that you didn't like? You know, there are wonderful, wonderful mm-hmm. things. But is anything that you, do you have a moment in time? What's your favorite moment in time? And what's your least favorite moment in time mm-hmm. about the art? Think about that.
Yeah, let me think about that for a second. You know what? favorite moment in time. It's hard to pick a favorite, but you know, I go back to seeing, you know, shows with my daughter, and mm-hmm. we saw Hamilton when the original cast was in, and that's something mm-hmm. that I'll never forget. And that moment of seeing how the whole theater comes together in support of that, and then the diversity of the cast, and all mm-hmm. of what was amazing about, and what is amazing about Hamilton. That's probably, when I think about the arts, one of my favorite memories about the arts was that moment.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, you go, Lenny. You go.
No, I was going to say, before you go, you think about something that maybe wasn't as wonderful. What was, do you remember the first time Broadway show your parents took you to, and what your reaction was to it, or theater in general, but particularly I picked Broadway because in that period of time, it's a little different now, but Broadway theater, mm-hmm. you know, a little while ago, was a whole different medium, and it was an art mm-hmm. form in itself. It's kind of got a little bit more commercialized now, but it really was an art form. The impression mm-hmm. that they had, do you remember the feeling that you got mm-hmm. when the orchestra started playing, or when the curtain started going up and the lights started going down if you were seeing a play? Do you remember that?
I remember the first Broadway show I saw was when I was in middle school, and it was a chorus trip, and we went to see 42nd Street on Broadway. And I just remember, I was probably like 13, 14 years old, and so it would have been in the 80s. And I remember just being mesmerized, like the music and when the lights went down, and just, I just remember my jaw dropping. And that's such an amazing show on its own. But for that to be my first exposure in New York to see a musical like that really stuck with me all the time.
It's a New York musical in New York. It's a New York kind of musical in New York. Yeah.
Yep.
It's like seeing Oliver in London. You know what I mean? It's
right.
The impact that had after that, was there a desire then afterwards to go with classes or to go with your parents mm-hmm. to the theater, you know?
There was. I mean, I ended up not doing it a lot. I mean, my parents really, it was, you know, they weren't able to take me back then. And part of it was what we talked about earlier. I had a handicapped sister. So it was harder for us to get out as much back then. But it really made me want to go see shows. And I was able then to take them to Broadway quite a few times once, you know, I was a little bit older. So I kind of gave them that experience, and then they got the bug and they really enjoyed it. But it did make me want to, you know, I realized I love that feeling of being in, you know, whether it's a play or a musical, to be there in the audience and to witness that. And every show I see opens my eyes, makes me think of things a different way than I maybe wouldn't have thought about it before. And that's true of the arts, whether it's a show, you're, you know, listening to an orchestra, or you're going to a concert, or you're going to a museum and looking at paintings. It just opens your mind in a different way.
Yeah.
It really does. And I love how freeing that is, and calming also.
Yeah, well, that's what I was referring to. It's one of the art form of the arts. Is an art form that just broadens your horizons in itself. It allows you that. It does introduce you to cultures that you didn't think about before, colors that you never thought that would go together before. And of course, when you were talking about the verbal, the languages, the different languages, if you go to the opera and everything, just understanding, not understanding necessarily the language, but because music is so universal, watching those people up there, knowing what they're going through, no matter what language they're singing, you understand what it is. It is such a wonderful feeling, you know, that it brings. And given all of that, you know, I think that's why I have such a campaign for people to enjoy the arts and the art, all different kinds of art forms. I appreciate television and film and the whole streaming system and everything like that. But when we can, live theater is a wonderful experience. Live concerts, going to the museum, attending art classes where you see people create things. I think it just opens our society up to understanding one another. Because we are, by the time we become adults, when we're children, we're very open. By the time we become adults, we become a little bit more closed. Mm-hmm. And if we can remember mm-hmm. how we were when we were children, it helps us a little bit get over all of those very starchy kind of evaluations and assessments that we've made of people from the very beginning. That's you know, the what worries me about the world that we live in now, how to file down the rough edges and make it smoother for people. A lot of people who are in positions of power don't see everybody, you know, as well as they could see them. They've already made an assessment. And I mm-hmm. charge you with this because you are in positions to do it. And as some people are, is you are, I think that you are a kind of person who is a smoother of the edges. You know, mm-hmm. you will go into a meeting, I think, and be able to present a picture, I think, Vicki, that people would not normally come in contact with, but because you are and because of what you represent to them, they would be more open for it. And that's a lot of responsibility to put on a person, but I think that that's one of the things that you do well.
Oh, well, thank you. And I take that to heart, and it's something I'll take away from, you know, tonight and, you know, keep in my mind as I, you know, continue to grow in my career and in the community is, you know, kind of continuing that. And I agree with you. I like that smoother of the edges. It is a way I describe yeah. myself. I try to just be calm, be neutral, and find a common ground and compromise. And I think we need a whole lot more of that anymore, as opposed to people being on opposite ends and having an impasse.
Yeah.
It's all
yeah.
about how do we get through this together? And the arts
exactly.
help us do that. There's no question.
Well, and that, I think that's what this evening was about for me in exploring how the arts has led you, been a part of what's leading you to where you are now. I mean, to think about, as we say, you know, we will say it, but we hope that there is a time when we won't have to emphasize that you are the first female that is the chairperson of the board of directors. If you know, that when there are people of color around, that we have to emphasize mm-hmm. that they're the first. We want to get rid of the first and let it just be, you know. And that's an evolution that I think we have to just work on. We haven't gotten there yet, but we're working toward it. We're better now than we were 3 years ago on that form.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we've taken a step forward and then two steps back. So sometimes we've gotten, you know, ahead of ourselves or gone forward, and then some instances have taken us backwards. But we do the best that we can, you know. We always do the best that we can. Now we're down to the last. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I've learned that from you, Lenny, especially through our diversity work is, you know, I've learned from you we're not flipping a switch. We're not going to change things in a meeting. We're going to slow down and we're going to take our time. And I appreciate that because it's always evolving and we have to take our time. That's how we impact change.
Well, yes. Thank you for that. I think that the thing that is so obvious to me sometimes is that policies are wonderful, laws are wonderful, but people make change. People, the people, their thoughts change, and that's what's changed. Yeah, they'll abide by the laws, they'll abide by the policies, but it's not in their heart, and it's not important until it's in your heart, because you then do it genuinely. And what we're looking for is to make people change in their hearts, not just in their duties, not just in the purpose by which they sign a paper or share an office or something. That it should come to you because it's the right thing, you know, and that's a hard process.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unlearning process. It's unlearning a lot of different things on both sides. And it takes time. just takes a lot of time. You know, it's not fast, and there's resistance from a lot of things, but we just keep on trying. You know, we keep on trying. That's the most important thing, that we try to do that more than anything else. We're down to like the last 2 minutes.
It went so fast.
I told you. And, you know, there's so much to talk about when you talk about the arts, but there's a lot to talk about when you talk about leadership and the influence that the arts has on leadership in general. And if we look around at all of the different kinds of leaders that we have, we see that there is an influence that they show. Even, you know, when they're relaxed, their love of the music is there, their love of the arts are there, you know, all of those kinds of things. They're there in these leaders, but you don't really see it until they're really relaxed, how much the arts has really influenced them to get to where they are. So this is just a step, you know, in a conversation, and hopefully I will continue this with you, and maybe if I do have a panel at the end of the season, you'll come back if you have some time, because it's not like you don't have anything to do.
Well, I'd love to come back if you'd have me at any point. This has been an absolute pleasure. I can't believe how quickly the hour has gone.
Well, yes, but, you know, you talk about things that really mean things to you. For me, I think community work is giving back is one of the most important things that we could ever do. And I admire people who do that. It may not seem that that's a focus for me, but sometimes it is a great focus for me to make people understand each other more than anything else. And once we do that, a lot of the challenges are then solved. Now we're going to continue this. You have the just a little bit of us being on video. Do you have time to do that this evening, Vicki?
I do.
Okay. You have the link. You have everything that you need. Or, you know, if not, we can hook up and do that once we're off the air. But I thought I sent you what you needed this afternoon, so that you could just click it. Good. So, you know, we're down to the last minute or so. So I'm going to say thank you to everyone who has tuned in. Thank you to all the listeners. And that they lined up, but nobody wanted to ask any questions. I guess they were just listening to us talk, okay? So
yes.
Thank you, everybody, for listening and coming in. Thank you, Vicki, for being a wonderful guest. And I look forward for us being, you know, seeing each other in a few minutes. To just cap this over and start this wonderful series of Women in and of Power here at Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. So I'll see you all next week, everyone. My guests will be the members of the board of Friends of Music, which is another nonprofit organization that is contributing to the arts, and we'll have a great hour with them. And we've had a wonderful time with Vicki. Vicki, I'll see you in a few minutes. And thank you all for tuning in to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. Good night for now. Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever, in the morning, fever all through the night. Listen to me, baby, hear every word I say. No one can love you the way I do. you, 'cause they don't know how to love you. Far away, you give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night.